Black woman.
Hey, RBWs, welcome to another episode of the Rich Black Woman podcast. And I am thrilled to bring to you another rich Black woman, Dorothy Enriquez. She is from Belize and a single mom. Dorothy is also CEO and principal consultant at the Elevate Collective, a firm dedicated to cultivating leaders from team members and giving clients cohort-style experiences while also igniting focus on diversity, equity, inclusion, and engagement. She is also an author of a recently released book titled Be Accountable, Be Fabulous, Growth Looks Good on You, Girl. It's a humorous self-help book of positive energy and relatable stories of work and home life. Welcome to the Rich Black Woman Podcast, Dorothy.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be here. Hello, RBW. Happy to join in.
Yes, absolutely. Happy to have you with us. And I was really excited to connect with you, learning more about your consultancy firm and also your background and your passion for women and your passion for leadership. And of course, here we are passionate about both those topics and specifically as they pertain to Black women. Yes. And so let's get into it. Tell us a little bit first about yourself and what brought you to this place and space.
I don't even know where to start, but yes, I am Belizean. Specifically, I'm Garifuna. So we just celebrated Settlement Day on November 19th. Very excited about that.
And what does that mean, actually? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
About Settlement Day or being
Garifuna?
Well, so being Garifuna means that our people specifically came from St. Vincent. So there was a slave ship that broke down in the 1700s in St. Vincent, and the African people that were slotted to be slaves got off and intermingled with the Arawak Indians and basically made an entirely new culture, new language, new foods, fusing the two cultures together, which then created the Garinagu people. And so, of course, whoever sent that slave ship in that direction realized that, you know, quote unquote, what they had in mind did not get executed. They sent people to follow up. And my ancestors were like, nah, we not about that life. So they fought and fought and fought. And then eventually they decided to leave St. Vincent, and the Garinagu people migrated to on boats to Belize, Honduras, and Guatemala. So November 19th is our settlement day, kind of like America's July 4th. And we essentially come together and celebrate and reenact the arrival of our people into the country.
Wow, that is beautiful. Look at that. We're getting some history lessons here throughout the diaspora. I love it. Something that I'm sure most people, most of our listeners were not aware of, but what a beautiful testament to the power of the collective and the heart of our people. So thank you for sharing that.
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit more. I know sharing kind of your cultural roots now, it makes a lot of sense too as to why you were so passionate about leadership, right? Like that's in your blood and your
Listen,
bones.
Listen, yes, it is in the blood, in the DNA to want to set an example, to fight for what you believe in and to bring people along versus leaving people behind. And a little bit about me, I'm what you call a third culture kid. So I gave a little bit of my heritage, but as I shared, I was not born in Belize. I was born in Italy. In Napoli, I was raised in Okinawa, Japan, and then I came to the U.S., quote-unquote, permanently, quote-unquote, when I was 16. And so having attachment to all of these different countries and having dual citizenship, I think it just gives me a global lens as I engage in what I do with running an award-winning learning and leadership development firm. It allows me to work with so many different clients and organizations and taking on that global perspective and that sort of international lens and focus in what I do. And so that's a little bit about me. And as you shared, I'm a single mom. So I have my little kindergartner who is the VP of the Successful Leaders Division And so even when she plays pretend, she never works for anybody. She always owns everything and has employees. And so I am excited to see what kind of leader she is going to come to be as she becomes an adult.
Love it. And it starts young. It sounds like she is getting that dose of leadership confidence from a very early yes. age, walking in her mom's footsteps. No, that's beautiful. And I love the fact that you kind of put a punctuation mark around having this global perspective. Mm-hmm. Increasingly, we know that our world is more global. We're more technologically connected. We can do right. business in every hemisphere now. And yes. we're also broadening, you know, beyond. For folks here who are, and we're an international podcast too. We have listeners from all over the world. And I do think it's really important for Black women throughout the world to have a global perspective and to realize that the world is their oyster.
Yes.
That they are not confined to just one country, one nation, that Blackness and our culture is actually everywhere. And so mm-hmm. we should feel confident and moving throughout the world. And we're doing that more and more. We see that throughout social media, et cetera. So I want to kind of get us to, we're at the end of the year. 2023 seemed like it was here and gone. I cannot believe we're already at the end of the year.
I know.
And we're, this is also a time, you know, so many women who work in corporate America and have their own businesses are reflecting on the mm-hmm. success of their year. What went right? What went wrong? What right. went, you know, sideways and how to regroup, how to be motivated again for a new year. It can be exciting. It can also be daunting though, right, Dorothy? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. with your experience and your lens, you know, what are some of the reflection questions you, being a leadership development thought leader, ask your own self to assess your year and what can we learn from that?
Oh my God. Yes. I mean, I'm always reflecting because that's just kind of part of what I do. But some of the questions I've been asking myself, especially as I'm getting ready to go on my first sabbatical ever, is really around my personal growth and transformation. And so one of the questions that I've been reflecting on is like, did you listen to yourself this year mm-hmm. and how? And what I mean by that is I talk about this, I feel often enough, but as Black women and as leaders, I feel like so often we're listening to everybody else and we are putting ourselves on the back burner, right? We get asked the question, who are the most five important people in your life? And we rattle off five people very quickly. We already know who they are and we're not on the list. That's wild. How are you not on your own list? And so I think that making ourselves important and asking ourselves the question of like, am I listening to myself when I need to go to the bathroom? Am I like, no, you can hold it. When I'm feeling tired, am I like, no, girl, you need to keep going or else, you know, when I'm feeling that I need a pep talk and a pick me up and someone to remind me of who I am, who I've been and who I've becoming. Am I like, nah, you should be able to figure this out on your own. And so being able to reflect on, did I listen to me and what I really needed? Because that speaks to taking care of the talent. Girl, you're the talent. You know what I'm saying? You're the talent. And if you don't take care of the talent, there will be no talent. And for some people, it might be like, yeah, but, you know, I need to get this done. I need to do one more thing. It's just that if you're not pouring from a cup that's full and often being replenished, if not by you, then by others, it doesn't matter because you're not going to be able to execute at the highest level possible because you don't have what you need. And so that's part of my reflection. And part of my reflection at the end of the year is when I think about how I talk to myself, would I let somebody else talk to me like that? Because I think sometimes I can be mean and harsh with myself about what I should have done, what I shouldn't have done. I had set a target for the team and it was going to be this notable reward, right, for my team. I was basically going to offer sabbaticals for everybody, but still pay them. And they're not, I have a team of consultants and contractors, and I wanted them to get reward for gifting their leadership to the firm that I've never heard of. contractors don't get paid unless they work it, honey. And so I'm like, if we hit our target, everyone's going on sabbatical. And because of where I am in my faith walk, I just was like, God, this is what we doing. And so while we will hit our target, we're not going to hit it by the deadline in order for everyone to enjoy the sabbatical. And I was really beating myself up and talking to my business bestie and saying, like, what the heck? Why didn't I think of a contingency plan? Like, what's wrong with me? What was I thinking? Why are you like this? How are you running this, you know, successful multi-six-figure firm and you didn't have a backup plan? But again, why be so mean, you know, like, and so harsh? Why not relish that it was even an option and that we got really close and that everyone's still excited and engaged and there will be other rewards for our team for a job well done? And so that's really some of the questions that I reflect on to assess my year, because I feel like the frame that we leverage determines everything. Our frame and our words determine how we experience our own world. And so just trying to be thoughtful for me with the words that I use. And I guess if you like how I put my mouth on myself, like what am I saying about myself to myself? Because I don't want to curse myself. I want to bless myself so that I can bless my team. And so that we're in a position of power versus a position of trying to climb out of something. And so just kind of reflecting on how did this year go? What did we intend? What did we do? And what actually happened?
Yeah, that is so good. We could pass the plate right now.
Yeah.
No, that was so good.
Yes.
What I heard in that, Dorothy, was so powerful, and something that the way that you articulated it, I think is worth underscoring. And that is, did I listen to myself and what I needed? And then when you gave the simple example of like, did I go to the bathroom when I needed to? And it made me think I had to drive 50 miles somewhere this weekend for a holiday party. And a girlfriend of mine actually saw each other. And she's like further away than I was, even from the location. And I was like, oh, can I hold it? And the fact that I even...
Yes! Why are we like this?
And then she was like, no, Yasmine. She's like, I just went and I'm 30, 40 minutes further than you. So yeah. And it's so true. And it speaks to, like, then you talked about giving ourselves, and this is something I've talked about a lot on this podcast, is extending grace to ourselves.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And celebrating what we have accomplished is also what I heard there. And I think those are three really key components. So I love that you brought them up. And I think that for our RBWs, like, those are three tangible nuggets for you all to delve into as you reflect on this year. And then looking into 2024 and how you might adjust things to be a better listener of your own self.
Yes. You know,
like, that is deep. Listening to your spirit, listening to the little girl inside of you, listening to the woman inside of you.
Yes.
All so key. So I know you're going to have probably a really profound answer to this. You know, I wanted to ask you, what's the best thing you think you learned in 2023?
Gosh, you know, I think for me, it's a learning, but I feel like I would call it a grappling and not a learning. Something that I've been wrestling with and kind of sitting in the tension of, are you going to trust yourself, Dorothy? And are you going to trust yourself in the process? Something about me, oh, I hate waiting. Like, I'd be asking God for background music so I can know what the heck is going on. Like, should I be scared or excited, sir? Like, please, come on, asking for a friend. And so in 2023, it has been an exercise in trust. Am I going to trust myself, right? Can I trust that I hired the right people? Can I trust that I gave solid guidance? Can I trust that I gave good decisions? Can I trust myself even when I'm like doing this perfectly? Because that was never the ask. Can I trust myself in this process of building a business that not only impacts the clients that we serve, but it impacts the people who gift their leadership to elevate, because they're trusting that we're going to cut these checks twice a month And so it's been a grappling this year, because sometimes the answer is like, girl, I don't trust you. I do not trust you. This is why I'm out here just flapping in the wind like a loose house dress. But there are other times where it's not solely just for me about like, do I just trust Dorothy in her own might? I am a believer. My faith, listen, Jesus is the CEO of this business, you know, and I'd be needing him to come to these board meetings and whatever. But it's, you know, because I thought we were boys. Like, what is happening, sir? I need the download. But in going on this faith walk as a business owner, I do feel like you have to put a wild amount of trust in yourself to be able to lean in even when you don't have all of the pieces. And so it's been a grappling. And I do feel like I'm in a much, much better and empowered position than I was at the start of the year. So it's working.
That's excellent. Trusting yourself and also trusting in God. And I think a lot of people can relate to that, you know, grappling. And I think that's going to be a theme moving forward into even like an unknown year, 2024, new presidential election next year.
Oh, right.
A lot of economic, people are being laid off, still a lot of economic woes and ups and downs. And particularly for entrepreneurs too, like we have to trust ourselves.
Yes.
And we have to trust and believe in something higher as well,
mm-hmm.
because it's a faith walk. So
right.
I love that you emphasize that. You know, for some people at this time, they're fed up and they're sick of like maybe a particular behavior or
right.
a particular pattern. And what you said earlier, Dorothy, about, you know, having your frame really impact the way you experience the world.
That.
And so what advice would you give to someone who is having a hard time with implementing changes in their life? Like they know they need to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be from small to really big grand scale. Like
yeah.
I need to lose weight. I want to get healthier mm-hmm. too. I need to start to launch my business, or I need to be more visible here. I need to
right.
network inside the company. What mm-hmm. would you say?
So my initial thing, and I'm going to say, you know, RBW's brace for impact. If you are still doing the same thing that you've been doing all year or the last 3 years or the last five or the last 10, my initial point of consideration that I'd like to lift up for you is that you're not tired yet, and it doesn't hurt bad enough yet. You're not sick yet. You're not sick and tired of being sick and tired yet. Doesn't mean that it's not coming, but that's part of what causes us to bust a move, is being so frustrated with us or the circumstances that there is no other choice than to bust a move incrementally. And so when we are completely frustrated, often with ourselves, because we are often one of our biggest obstacles, that is when we can gather the momentum, the fortitude, and the constitution to step into the unknown. Whether it's losing weight, having to speak in public, having to finish the book, having to start the show, or whatever it is that is causing us to say like, I'll do it tomorrow, or I'll do it next week, or I'll do it next year or next decade. But the frustration is a sign that we are ready and equipped to move forward. But as leaders, you have to make a choice. And if God or whatever it is that you believe in keeps telling you this is what you're going to do, and you keep not listening and dragging your feet, even complacency and not deciding is still disobedient. So ultimately, our job as Black women, who are the ones creating so much of how people experience the world around them, our job is to create plans that allow us to make incremental steps. It should not be like, excuse my language, like balls to the wall, like do everything tonight, because that's not sustainable. But I do think that we have to create those incremental steps to get stuff done. What do I mean? If you're making an outfit, just say that you're going to do 5 stitches. Most likely you'll end up doing more, because 5 stitches is not a lot, but just say you'll do 5 stitches. If you're writing a book, just say you'll write 1 sentence. Most likely you'll end up writing more, but just say that you're going to do the 1 sentence every day so that you can start to build habits that empower you, so that you can see some type of progress. Because it all begins with a step. And as leaders, we are crafting our journey one step at a time. So that would be my advice.
That's good. I hear baby steps. And
yes.
That makes it more doable too. And I think that's part of the reason why we don't often take that leap of faith or make that change, because it can seem so overwhelming. But like you said,
oh my God,
the journey. Just start the journey. So good. And then celebrate that too. Like you said, like if you did one sentence, well, if you set out to do one sentence and you ended up writing a page, like celebrate that.
Absolutely.
And then know, like, hey, I have another page in me tomorrow.
Right.
And that might turn into two pages.
Exactly.
So giving yourself that grace and that encouragement. And we really have to do that as Black women too.
Mm-hmm.
Being our best cheerleader.
Yeah.
Because there's so much noise in the world to tell us, unfortunately, and unfortunately, very specifically, too much in these social media streets and media streets. I'll say that too. Just in any type of visual media, we seem to have these narratives that are directed towards us or portray us so falsely and what we really are. And so we have to do our due diligence to block those things out and to call out who we really are and that we know we were made to be. So I want to talk about the shifting kind of tides in the world right now. Like there's so much going on. We've got AI is all the rage, artificial intelligence,
right?
How that's going to be impacting and is impacting our world on a daily basis. Now we're seeing the integration of AI into everything we do for good or for worse.
Right.
There's pros and cons to all of it. New social media, like Threads that came out, X rebranded. We've got wars going on. People are concerned, like returning to work, geopolitics. And women, we often do so much of the emotional labor to keep things moving in our families and at work, which can be exhausting. I think this ties into some of the things you talked about earlier. But what would you say as some advice to help us keep it all together, to balance as we move into 2024? Like, how can we move into 2024 with a sense of hope and that we can do this?
Yeah, I think, you know, honestly, the two things that bubble to the top of my mind with this question is, number one, talking more, sharing more, being vulnerable and open. Because I think sometimes as Black women, we feel the pressure of like having to do two or three times as much in order to get half or a third of the credit. We feel like we have to be perfect. We feel like there's no room for error. But I think when we operate like that in work and in business, I do think that sometimes we take that home and we feel like we always have to be super something, super mom, super woman, super wife. And as a result, people are looking at us like, oh, well, she's strong. She should be all right. Yeah, she was seeming a little off the other day, but she'll be all right because she's always all right. And I don't think that we're articulating clearly that we could use support and that we could use help and that we feel overwhelmed or whatever language really suits the moment. And I don't know that we're always doing the best job to articulate it. And sometimes we are couching it and wrapping it in jokes and comedy. You know, I think people interpret it as like, oh, she's just kidding, when no, we're really screaming for help. So I think part of it is the asking for help and not feeling like asking for help is weak, but rather asking for help is wise. And I think the other side is talking about, especially in homes where there is another human present outside of children, and if you've got children that are of a certain age, discussing the expectations, because I do believe we are in relationship with so many people around us where they have no idea what we expect, but we are addressing them as if they know. And so I think there's so many unmet expectations and so many conversations that we're not having because, you know, we feel like it's going to create confrontation. But I want to lift up for your consideration that confrontation isn't a bad thing. Yes, it gets a bad rap, but it's not a bad thing. When confrontation is done well, it actually brings you closer together. And so it's a marker that this relationship is deep, it is meaningful, and it is transformative. And so I think that as Black women, we have to ask for help more. When we are drowning, we need to start flailing and tell somebody and scream for help. And I do think that when we've got expectations, we've always got expectations. So when we've got these expectations, doing our very best to use our words and communicate those expectations so that they're not festering in the background, going unmet, and now we're upset, frustrated, resentful, bitter, and feeling unsupported.
Okay, well, that was another whole word and a whole nother podcast topic.
Listen, honey, child.
And this has been a recurring theme. No matter who I've talked to, brought on the podcast, whether they are a startup founder, whether they're a consultant, a coach, a trauma therapist, it has been consistently a conversation around Black women and asking for help. And what I have seen is almost like a meltdown. Like you alluded to it, like it'll come out in comedy or like little maybe sarcastic comments. And I actually, again, real life experience, saw this at work and I didn't know how to articulate it. And you just helped me. And I actually had a conversation with my husband about it. And I said, hey, I was at this event and I noticed like some of the women who didn't even know each other made some little like snide remarks to one another. And like we were at what was a very joyful event, a beautiful event. And I thought, wow, it seems like people's fuses were very short.
Oh, for sure. And it's the end of the year. Oh, these fuses are on like ready to snap.
I think that's so true. And we end up doing it on people who are there to love us.
Which is the unfortunate thing, right?
Like, yeah, like everyone there was there to love the host and this event that was being put on for us. And, but we were kind of exploding. I know, and I call them like little mini emotional explosions were happening. You know? And so just to reiterate your point about, if there is one thing I could give my RBWs advice on, please get help in 2024.
Listen.
And what that could look like, right? And I know that you have a lot of experience on this. So my mind goes to coaching right away. But coaching can look different in various forms, right? Like coaching really just means someone to support you, help you, guide you. And it could be a program.
Yes.
It could actually be a coach.
Right.
It could be some professional development. It could be you ask your a family member or someone, a friend, to watch the kids. So speak about that. Like, how do we get help, girl? How do we get help?
Listen, I mean, part of it is recognizing that life could be better. It could have more rhythm. I'm not going to say balance because I don't know about that. But I think life could have more rhythm. I think it could align more with the vision that rests in your mind and your heart. So knowing that there is courageous possibility available, that lets us all know that we could ostensibly be doing something different. But as leaders, we have the power to choose. We get to decide, like, do I want to keep living this way? Or do I want to make a shift or a change? And is it going to be worth it to me? Because sometimes the answer is no, it's not worth it, right? But I think when we are getting ready to go into a new year, as far as I'm concerned, my new year has already started. But when we're getting ready to go into a new year, it's an opportunity to look at, like you talked about, well, what went well, but also looking at our mistakes, because the way that we talk about our mistakes and the way that we frame our mistakes is going to offer the most transformation that we can experience in short order over the long haul. And so if you can be in therapy, if you can get a coach, if you can be part of a mastermind or an incubator where you all are committed to growing each other, these things can be integral to transforming how we experience our day to day. But at the very least, for the person who's like, oh, therapy, I don't want to because it costs too much, or I can't get a coach because it costs too much. The one thing I'll lift up for your consideration is that for some of you, in saying that it costs too much and you can't afford it, for some of you, you can't afford not to. Now, for others of you, what you can do is cultivate a hype crew, because as Black women and as people in general, honestly, we forget who we are all the time. Some of us forget who we are every day. And it is through that process of forgetting that things start to slip. And so who's going to be in your hype crew? It could be 1 to 3 people who will remind you every time you notice you're forgetting who you are. Think about T'Challa and his mama when he was fighting and she was like, show them who you are, right? Like, who's going to remind you of who you are? Because we forget all the time and we need reminders. Especially when we make a mistake, things go wrong, or everything is falling apart around us like a dumpster fire, you want to have those solid 1 to 3 people who know enough about you and enough about your wins to remind you while you're pulling it together around this concept and idea of coaching and therapy, because we need both.
Oh, I love that. I absolutely adore that advice. With the hype crew. And that is an immediate action that
yes, exactly.
Each listener needs to assess who's in your hype crew.
Mm-hmm.
And are there some missing links? Do
yes.
you need to replace somebody?
That.
You know? Shoot. Do we need to have a different, you know, matrix over here?
Exactly.
And demote some folks and promote some folks.
Listen, preach a good word, okay? Somebody might need to get demoted on today. But this is something you can do today. Who are the, you know, 1 to 3 people that when you have a rough day, a bad day, a learning day, you're like, hey, listen, I ain't got it today. Remind me. And they literally understand the assignment and they jump in.
Yes. Oh, I love it. Love it. Love it. That was a gift in and of itself, ladies. I'm so excited now to learn more about your book. Just 30 minutes into this conversation, now I am just sold on it.
Yes.
Tell us more about why you wrote this book, Be Accountable and Be Fabulous, and why should we read it?
Ooh, so I actually wrote this book a long time ago, but you know, listen, the spirit of fear and procrastination was all over me, which is why it did not get published until this year. But when I was 30 years old, I had made a decision to quit my job and do my business full time, after which it promptly failed. And I was back in corporate 6 months later, once again, without a backup plan, right? And as I was looking at my life falling apart, right, I had no money. I didn't have I had gotten rid of my apartment. So I didn't have a place to live. I didn't have a job. I was hiding my car, because I didn't want anybody to come and take bingo. And I was looking all around like, this is somebody's fault. Whose is it? Okay. Like, so, whose head am I chopping off today? And everywhere I looked, there I was. Don't tell anybody. And I just was like, wait a minute. Why are all these fingers pointing back at me? This is trash. This is not my fault. I did not do this. Ultimately, I just was not trying to take any type of accountability. I wanted to literally blame anybody and everybody that I could think of for my predicament, right? Like I said, I'm always somebody who has a plan. And in this instance, I had no job, needed to find one, no money. Y'all, I had $75 in my bank account. I'm like, I can't do anything with this. Like, this is horrible. I'm living back at home with my parents, trickety trash. And so I started writing these journal entries, you know, being upset and salty and, you know, bitter about like why my life sucks. And as I was writing, I was like, you know, let me turn this into a newsletter, because I had a magazine publication at the time. And then it just got longer and longer. And it was maybe 20 pages. And I sent it to my friends, like, they're like, this is too long for a newsletter. Like, girl, what is your life about? And they were like, why don't you write a book? I was like, I would never. My name is Dorothy. There's so many people named Dorothy who write books. I shan't. However, I dug my heels in and decided to do that research, think about what had happened, what I had experienced, and how many women are in fabulous pencil skirts and pumps and stilettos not being accountable just like me. I needed to take off my victim glasses, put on my accountability glasses, because let's face it, there's so many of us, we're juggling work, businesses, relationships, families, and our own personal journeys. It's a lot. And so the book is really designed to use humor to help us get our poop in a group and really start looking at how can I take on the personal accountability so that I can really have the opportunity to maximize my success in every area of my life. And so I wrote the book because that's the book I needed to read when I was navigating my mess. And so I just used my mess to be my message. And I'd like to think I'm funny. And so I used a lot of humor because, again, accountability is not sexy. Nobody wants to talk about it. But I want to make you laugh while I help you get your life together.
I love it. And definitely see the humor in it already. I love that you were vulnerable, Dorothy. So many people can actually relate to that, right? Like starting a business and then literally having to go back into
corporate
regroup. And that's okay.
Right.
Because it happens. And there was learning in that, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that is excellent. And where can people find your book and get it?
Absolutely. So you can go to beaccountablebefabulous.com. You can go to Barnes & Noble. You can go to Amazon. And those are the three main places where you can find Be Accountable and Be Fabulous. But if you go to beaccountablebefabulous.com, you can take the quiz and then you'll get a free checklist about how you can start being accountable today. I like to, in whatever I'm doing, give folks something that they can use right away as we're trying to ignite change and transform, because I believe in baby steps. And so you can find out ways that you can start being more accountable even before you get your own copy of the book.
Excellent. Well, this has been a thoroughly fabulous discussion. And I'm so excited for our listeners to be able to tap into your book, to tap into your resources. Tell us if people want to reach out to you, how they can do that, and why might they reach out to you?
Well, if you are a Black woman CEO, definitely connect with me on Instagram. I'm at Elevate Her. And so that page focuses all on Black women CEOs running amazing businesses with teams of 25 or less. And so I'd love to connect with you there. If you're like, I just want to hear what you got to say, Dorothy, then you can hang out with me on TikTok, because over there I'm at Dorothy Leads. And then if you are a woman in nonprofit, corporate, government, and you're like, dang, you need to come talk to my company, definitely reach out to me. The website is theelevatecollective.com, so that we can book some quality time, hang out, and see how myself and the team can help your organization cultivate today's team members into tomorrow's leaders. But I am here for y'all. Listen, my favorite, most favorite, favorite people to work with is Black people who look just like me. And so if there's opportunities for us to connect, listen, let's do it. If you are in the DFW area, hit me up. I am in the business of making new friends.
Excellent. Well, thank you. We have just made a new friend, and I'm so excited to have you a part of the Rich Black Woman community. So thank you, Dorothy Enriquez, for enriching the lives of the Rich Black Woman audience.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
And RBWs, you know where you can reach us at richblackwoman.com and on all the socials at richblackwoman. Until then, live richly.